Thanks, Crystal. So I'd like to thank my colleagues at the University of Maryland School of Public Health and the Boston College National Resource Center for Participant-Directed Services, who worked with me on this project. I have no conflict of interest to disclose. So today I'm going to start just by defining self-direction for you. Then I'll discuss how self-direction fits with other health and behavioral health system change initiatives. Next I'll describe some self-direction programs and evidence of their effectiveness for a population of individuals with serious mental health conditions. And then finally I'll present just a few selected findings from a recently completed environmental scan of self-direction and behavioral health. So self-direction is also referred to as self-directed care, participant direction, consumer direction, and in the UK it's called personal health budgets or personalization. So it's a model, you can think of it as a way of financing services and support. So in a traditional model there's a payer such as Medicaid that reimburses providers for services rendered to consumers. In the self-direction model, participants are given a flexible service dollar budget and then they select and purchase services as well as goods to meet their mental health related goals. So for example, a behavioral health service user in the traditional system may see a psychiatrist once a month, have a case manager, and attend a day program 5 days a week. If that person were to switch to a self-direction arrangement, she may decide to stick with her psychiatrist but stop seeing the case manager, hire a peer wellness coach instead, attend the day program 2 days a week, and then use that rest of her budget to purchase a bus pass, a computer to work towards an education goal, and a gym membership to work towards a wellness goal. This is one example of something that could happen. Self-direction is informed by principles of person-centeredness, self-determination, and in the case of behavioral health, recovery, which have been themes of some other conversation presentations in the mental health section this conference. So we understand recovery as a self-defined, non-linear journey that involves hope, social inclusion, and wellness. Self-direction programs typically share some common elements. They definitely vary in design, but they often share these common elements. So there's a person-centered plan that's strengths-based and identifies goals and concrete objectives. And then based on that plan, the participant develops an individual budget. The participant typically works with a specially trained support broker to set the goals and develop the budget. And in some mental health programs, that broker role is occupied by a person with lived experience, a specially trained peer, like a peer specialist. There are fiscal intermediaries or financial management services that assist with payment logistics. And then some oversight entity, which could be a provider or a managed care organization or an advocacy organization like NAMI or a state or county behavioral health authority, would oversee programs. So we can situate self-direction in this sort of continuum of movements towards greater self-determination, person-centeredness in health and behavioral health. First, the consumer survivor movement has long advocated for increased self-direction. The inclusion of peers in the behavioral health workforce really highlights the importance of self-defined wellness as an outcome and fosters hope that recovery is possible. The landmark Olmstead ruling in 1999 mandated that states provide mental health care in a least restrictive environment, so community integration becomes more of a key focus for systems. We've also seen a shift towards self-direction within the behavioral health system, with SAMHSA including concepts of self-direction in its working definition of recovery, and then a concurrent paradigm shift in the physical health system, leading to a focus on patient-centered care, which we see in the IOM reports of the past decade, the integration of physical and behavioral health services. And further, the Affordable Care Act actually includes some key changes to one Medicaid state plan option that specifically supports the expansion of self-direction for populations with serious mental illness. So nationwide, across population groups, there are more than 300 programs enabling over 800,000 people to self-direct, either through a budget authority or a more limited form, the employer authority. But for persons with SMI, there's only a handful of programs, so I can just run down them quickly. The first is Florida Self-Directed Care. It's the largest and longest-standing self-directed care program. There are about 330 people in Florida who are self-directing. There are two smaller programs in Texas and in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, that are both small randomized trials, and the results should be coming out soon. In Michigan, the employer authority, the ability to hire and fire workers, is available to individuals receiving publicly funded behavioral health services, but there's been limited take-up. And a handful of other programs which have a more limited form of self-direction in Maryland and Oregon. In the United Kingdom, individuals with mental health conditions were included in a very large pilot of the National Health Service, and they expect to expand that program in coming years. So the evidence base right now is fairly small. The CASH and Counseling Demonstration and Evaluation serves as the largest evidence base for the model in general across population groups. It was a randomized experiment with 6,700 Medicaid personal care beneficiaries with long-term service and support needs in three states. That experiment found higher quality of life, satisfaction, reduced unmet need, and health outcomes the same or better for individuals who are self-directing compared to individuals with traditional arrangements. And within that group, two sub-analyses looked at CASH and counseling participants and comparison group members who had mental health diagnoses, and they found a similar story, and that these individuals fared as well or better on measures of satisfaction, quality of life, unmet need than the general group, and far better than the comparison group of people with a mental health diagnosis receiving traditional services. So that those analyses suggest effectiveness in mental health context, but there are limitations that intervention wasn't designed specifically for people with serious mental health conditions. In the National Health Service, the pilot that I mentioned, they documented a higher health-related quality of life for self-directing participants. And for the mental health subgroup in particular, they documented decreases in inpatient service use, as well as outpatient, actually, for the mental health folks compared to the individuals in the comparison group. And then in the Florida Self-Directed Care Program, there are a few early analyses that have documented reductions in crisis stabilization and other support services, more days in the community as opposed to in the hospital, and greater access to community-based care, but they're smallish studies with some methodological limitations. So the study that I'm going to spend the rest of my presentation talking about is an environmental scan of self-direction and behavioral health. There was a partnership between Human Services Research Institute, Boston College, and the University of Maryland, and it was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Our key research aims were to ascertain interest in the model, to understand barriers and facilitators to implementation and adoption, to examine how the model is adapted to meet behavioral health needs, and ascertain next steps. So the components included a literature review that to really synthesize what's already known about self-direction. We also surveyed and conducted interviews with behavioral health leadership, so people at director levels at state and county behavioral health authorities, and then we conducted individual interviews and focus groups with a number of other stakeholders. So quickly, the methods. For the survey portion, we recruited behavioral health program directors following an informational webinar about self-direction that was hosted by the National Association of State Mental Health Program Directors, and then just generated descriptive statistics to look at those responses. For the focus groups and interviews, we created semi-structured interview guides based on the literature review as well as the results of the survey. We recorded interviews, transcribed them, loaded them into qualitative analysis software. We started with an a priori thematic framework, again, based on the literature review and the survey, and then incorporated emergent themes as they came up until we landed on a final thematic framework that we used to organize the results. So as I mentioned, I'll just be presenting a slice of those findings in a moment. But before I do, I want to mention some main limitations of this study. The main one is self-selection bias. So the respondents that we spoke with were likely more enthusiastic about self-direction than the general population of behavioral health leadership, although we did get quite a broad representation, as you'll see in a moment. And also, if you've seen one state Medicaid program or state behavioral health system, you've really only seen one state Medicaid program or behavioral health system. So the findings in each state may not be totally generalizable across other states and counties. For the program director survey, we got a total of 46 individuals represented, and about half of them represented state programs, most represented mental health programs, and a number represented combined mental health and substance use programs. And then for the interviews and focus groups, we conducted a total of 35 in-depth interviews. 17 of those were program directors recruited from the sample of survey respondents. And then we also spoke with other stakeholders, including current and former program participants, self-direction staff, so support brokers, clinicians, some of whom were familiar with self-direction, some of whom were not. The focus groups involved support brokers in two different states, and then three focus groups of persons with SMI who were unfamiliar with self-direction, just to gauge their attitudes. So over half of the program directors who took that survey were very interested in implementing self-direction. They endorsed a number of benefits, chief among them a stronger consumer choice and voice, so a lot of enthusiasm for self-direction among behavioral health leadership that we spoke with. In terms of the in-depth interviews, respondents endorsed a number of potential benefits of self-direction. They spoke of a positive impact on recovery, including housing retention, education and employment, community engagement, health and wellness, as well as clinical improvement. One self-directing participant said, "Being in the system, you feel like you can just drop off and you don't matter as a person. You're just a number. With self-direction, you feel like an individual. You have value. That gives you hope." Interviewees said that recovery might be longer lasting and more sustainable because the individual himself or herself is orchestrating the process. Interviewees also spoke of how increasing choices allows participants to create a mix of services and supports that works best for them, which could lead to improved outcomes. And some interviewees said that when participants are aware of the cost of their service packages, they may be more likely to be judicious with their spending. So one program director said, "People might say, well, wait a minute, I could do this, but I could do this other thing. It may not be as glamorous, it costs a little less, but it's probably just as effective. My money's going to go further. People do make intelligent decisions." In terms of potential challenges and barriers, program directors were very concerned about the administrative complexity of self-direction programs and the potential for unintentional and intentional misuse, but a lot of them spoke about provider resistance as a key barrier to self-direction. And in the in-depth interviews, we explored that more. Interviewees echoed concerns about provider resistance, speaking of self-direction as a potential financial threat, with resources being very limited, a sense of tremendous scarcity. So if you allow people to self-direct, what are you going to do? Are they going to choose the services that they need? Which brings us to another underlying theme, which was that providers may doubt the capacity of individuals to make good choices in self-direction. Interviewees also discussed underlying assumptions related to a medical model of mental illness. At the systems level, program directors identified a number of other barriers. They spoke of competing agency priorities and limited resources. However, other program directors seemed to think that this changing environment was an ideal moment to introduce system change initiatives like self-direction. So one person said, "Some people may say we're in a state of chaos, others a state of opportunity." In terms of next steps, the majority of our interviewees and survey respondents identified a need for a better understanding of self-direction. They requested TA and education to address implementation concerns, as well as provide education for administrators, providers, and potential participants. They endorsed the need for a demonstration and evaluation to test the efficacy of self-direction on a larger scale. Interviewees gave feedback about what a demonstration could look like and helped to identify what they saw as key outcomes, including cost, service use, quality, employment and housing retention, and satisfaction. And I'm happy to report that following the environmental scan, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation provided support for just that. So we launched a multi-state three-year demonstration and evaluation just this year and are in the process of formalizing our agreements with six states to look further at self-direction. So these are my references, and happy to talk more if anyone's interested. There are copies of the handouts back there, too.